It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, it's the weekend and you've tuned in to the Grilling Guys on our Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you doing that. I am Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. We're going to talk about hogging on the grill. Sounds like a little bit of fun, Bob.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, it is. Let's hope so.
Right.
We like hog. But welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. We're so happy you joined us. And we want to invite you to our website. It's called thegrillinguys.com. All right? And there's all kinds of cool things you can find there. You can find our sponsors on the right, and you can click and get deals from them. You can actually click on a headset up at the top right and click the link to receive this podcast. So in case you're not up early enough or late enough or wherever we're at in your market, you can just send it right to your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was at a memorial in Detroit, a couple of them. I was just at one again the other night. And one of my nephews from Pennsylvania came up and said, "Hey, I was cruising down the road and I had Sirius on and David Webb was introducing you." So my nephew's out in Pennsylvania. He heard me on the David Webb show, which he about drove off the road, he said.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of fun.
That's funny.
Yeah.
How that satellite will reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
But anyway, right now we are on terrestrial and it's been a season for people passing away in our circle. First it was my brother, then it was my sister-in-law. A couple days ago, my wife's high school friend died. She had muscular
sclerosis.
Muscular atrophy, muscular system atrophy, MSA. And it's like Parkinson's, but it took Bridget Brennan 15 years. Finally succumbed to it, but it normally takes you out in 8 years.
Yeah.
But she was the sweetest girl. Anyway, yeah, so, man, I'm done with funeral homes for a while.
Everybody needs to be. Hey, let's shift gears here. We're going to talk a little bit about hogging on the grill. That is pork. One of the most popular cuts of meat for barbecue guys in the world, I think, even more than chicken. Is there's always some kind of part of the hog. So I want to talk about, there's five chops on a hog that Jop is going to talk about hog chop right now. There's rib, loin, sirloin, double cut, and a blade. And let me go through those. A rib chop, this is probably your most common one. It's the center of the loin. It's lean. These are the pork chops that you see in the supermarket or your butcher. There's a loin chop. Now, this has a T-bone in it, and that bone is going to hold a little moisture for you. Bob will tell you that the meat has its flavor with or without the bone, but the bone will hold a little bit of moisture. Sirloin chop, this is probably the you ever been to the big box store where you got two or three really nice pork chops on the top, and when you peel them away, there's this big piece of pork meat, which is the same thickness as a steak, but Now you're back to the sirloin. It's a little bit bigger chunk, and that's a sirloin chop. It's a little less expensive.
Don't they call it a pork steak?
It's kind of back near the hip, right? Fairly lean.
Isn't that a pork steak?
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly. Sirloin chop. And then you got double cuts. These are special occasions. Probably got to go to your butcher to get those. That's a two-bone chop. That'd be a form of the rib chop or the loin chop. And then the blade, that's a shoulder. That's when we do pork butts. There's a shoulder blade in that butt sometimes, a bone-in pork butt. If they cut a steak off that, that's called a blade chop. So you got five different chops from Jop on the hog.
You could just go to a chop shop.
You could, right. So one more thing. When you're shopping for hog, the redder, the better. Okay, just remember that. The muscle part of the meat, the redder, the better. The fat that's around the outside needs to be a creamy white. If it's yellow, it's old. Don't buy it, because that's one of your true things you can do. You want them marbled, if you can, your chops, because fat's flavor. Again, the creamy white stuff, but it'll be marbled throughout the meat.
That's something you don't see much in hogs anymore in America,
right?
You know, is marbling in the chop.
Right.
And
well, they grow them so fast.
I think that is exactly what's going on.
Right. And then, you know, the other thing is that I wouldn't worry too much about hormones in your meat. I prefer hormone-free, but most hormones are illegal now in the growing market.
Oh, good.
So they do them naturally. And then, you know, anything that's called pasture-raised or heirloom is going to be all-natural diet anyway, and it's probably just a little bit more tender.
It's going to be a really hairy pig when you kill it, too.
Right, yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to mention the mosquitoes this year are ridiculous all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, we had a drought for, what, like 5 weeks, and then all of a sudden
monsoons.
It rained and a ton, and now they're making up for lost time, baby.
Oh, goodness sakes. It's as bad as I've ever seen it out in my neck of the woods. You being in town might not be quite as bad. But
well, we have a lawn service that sprayed them, too, for
okay.
them. Yeah, but you're in the woods.
I do my own.
There's enough spray in the world to cover your place, man.
Well, there is. Yeah. I buy it. I'm buying the cutters, the hooks on your hose.
Right.
But it rains as soon as I spray.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like it's not working. I think it's feeding them.
Right.
I found a good podcast I wanted to mention for all you dads out there. I'm like really intrigued by, of course, any small investments, stock market. I love the apes, for example. But there's a podcast called Rich Dad. And it is, I believe it's the same people that wrote Rich Dad, the book mm-hmm. that everybody uses
sure it would
as
be.
A Bible.
Yeah.
But this podcast, you can download it for your phone, called Rich Dad. It's entertaining, but incredibly informative. And my son got me hooked on it, and so I'm appreciative of that. The other thing I want to mention is the world's kind of on fire right now. The currency, and this is why my investment portfolio is changing. Lebanon's currency just crashed. And they're going to go to the IMF, which is the World Bank, the deep state. They're going to go to them for money. So bye-bye, Lebanon. South Africa, absolute war zone. It's a bloodbath down there. And it's crazy. And I mean, it has nothing to do with grilling, but as a dad or just a husband, father, kid, whatever, you watch the world right now, and there seems to be like things erupting all over, and it's just a good idea to kind of watch these world events because it can trigger other things. And I'm a big, I wouldn't say prepper, but I love having a pantry full of food. I love having my bunker, and I think it's a good idea to stock up on, and food prices, the inflation right now, things are becoming inflated as heck. It reminds me of Jimmy Carter days, so it's a great time to stock up on your food because it's only going to get worse. Like beans and rice and all that stuff that's in cans and bags. Buy it up, man, because I think prices are just going to get even crazier.
Could be, yeah. I mean, the world is the world, man. It goes around and around.
Oh, not to forget Cuba.
Right.
We just talked about La Caja China, which is the Cuban pig cooker.
Right.
Well, they can't get pork in Cuba. They're on the streets rioting because communism has bled them dry. I mean, I know all the fat cats have plenty of food and money, but the people are literally starving. I saw film footage of the streets of Havana, and it looked like Lebanon 10 years ago. I mean, they have drawn it down to absolute sheer poverty. So don't tell me communism and socialism's an answer. It's not.
All right, well, coming up next, we're going to come to another part of the world, the middle of the United States, a little town called St. Louis, and we're going to talk some ribs. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Time to start talking about some different types of hog on your grill. Let's go to St. Louis. Barbecue Bob, what you thinking about some spares from St. Louis?
I noticed you get this redneck sort of when you start talking about ribs. Yeah, well, tell us, why do they call it a St. Louis rib?
It's a different cut of the rib than the baby back rib. There's a little bit longer rib, and you get a row of meat. The baby backs are shorter, narrower. The rack of ribs is
higher
the same
on
length.
The hog,
right?
So it's up towards the loin.
Right. Yep, yep.
And the St. Louis rib comes from.
Lower on the
St.
hog.
Louis.
Right, yeah.
The spare ribs.
Right.
If you look at a rack of spare ribs, and, you know, if you go to soul food restaurants, so, like, you'll find very often riblets. When you flip that spare rib rack over, you'll see that the ribs are all about the same size, but then there's this sort of, belly meat or flank meat. That's down there, and if you just cut along the edge of the ribs, you'll have your spare ribs. You'll have your St. Louis ribs.
Right. Now, both of these are the ribs of the hog. It's just the one that's higher on the hog is the baby back.
Yep.
The one that's lower on the hog, down toward the belly a little more, that's the spare
yep.
ribs in St. Louis. Now, to me, they both are really, really good.
Yep.
But with regard to the spares, you can get two different kinds of cut from one rack of ribs. And when you go to the store, baby back ribs, 5-6 inches across and maybe 15 inches long. You go to a spares, they're going to be a foot across and maybe 15 inches long, right? It's the same ribs. It's just the upper part versus the lower part.
Correct.
On the animal.
And what's the reason you'd buy a spare?
I believe they're more flavorful, personally, and as well as you can get those rib tips that are on there and little riblets. In addition to the they're meatier.
I believe it's because of the price.
Right. Well, there you go too. Yeah. Right. For whatever reason, the baby back's up closer to the loin, and it's going to be a little bit higher price than the spares are.
Spares are nice. I like a St. Louis rib because, I mean, baby backs are good, but there's almost like too much meat on each bone to just have fun with it. You get one or two ribs. I'll silence my phone. You get one or two ribs and you pull the whole end off, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with a St. Louis rib, you have a nice, I don't know, it's like corn on the cob, you know, you got a nice stick in your hand or something to work with.
A handle for
the
food, right?
Yeah, and they're also maybe, I don't know, easier to have uniformity in your cook. Because with baby backs, on some you'll get just some very big uppers on them. And to get them all to the same consistency is a little bit more of a trick for the novice. By the way, we're enjoying a Bell's Juicy Gossip right now, Juicy Pale Ale, and that's pretty tasty. It is very tasty. So baby bags.
No, hold on. Okay, before we go there, do you cook those with that with that tip on there, or do you cut it off and cook it to two pieces?
I always cut the riblets off.
Right. Why is that?
Just how I was taught. I think
they get done quicker. There's not as much bone in there, and they're not overdone. To me, the reason I do it, one of the reasons, is that I can take that piece off there, and it cooks a little quicker than the, because it's not quite so much bone in. A little bit of cartilage, but not so much bone. For me, anyway.
I would almost say, for me, it's so that I can look at both ends of the rib, and they're going to retract as you cook it, so I have a better temperature gauge. The riblets, actually, for my liking, take a little longer because I'm going to smoke them, and then I'm going to wrap them and put them back in because the riblets have a lot of cartilage in them. It has a knuckle in there. And if they're not absolutely falling off the riblet tender, you're going to fight with it. So I always cook my riblets like an extra hour more than I cook a St. Louis rib just because I've tried it the other way and they haven't been tender enough. And people just – if they haven't grown up with soul food, which, you know, most of us haven't, white folks especially, I guess, you don't know what to do with it. Whereas when you go down to someplace where they specialize in soul food, you're going to find that those guys know how to cook those riblets perfectly, and the people are going to flock to them because
they know what they're doing. Right.
They know what they're doing, and they're cheaper.
Right.
It's just an extra.
Yep.
But there used to be a guy here in town.
Almost a burnt ends kind of thing.
Well, sort of the burnt end of pork, but it's a nice little piece, and Sandman used to make them.
Right. And you know, he's back now.
Is he really?
He's opened up another restaurant here in Grand Rapids, yeah.
Oh.
I saw it just last week.
Well, I remember taking my youngest into Sandman's when she was about 13. And, you know, being in the urban district, and, I mean, like, we were the only white folks that walked in there. They're really nice to us. I mean, they don't care, right? But for her, being a little country girl from a little all-white town with very few black friends, I was having fun watching her assimilate, and she did very well. But I'll tell you what she fell in love with was the sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah.
And the riblets, because Sandman used to make a really good sauce, and he would just bathe those riblets in it, and they were done to perfection.
Yeah,
but awesome. Yeah, very famous barbecue guy for the West Michigan area in terms of ribs, especially.
Let's talk about seasoning these things. And do you season them before? Let the seasoning set on them. Do you just season them right when you put them on the smoker or the grill? What's your technique?
Well, one of the things that we didn't talk about was pulling the membrane off the back, and with a St. Louis, it's even more important. Mm-hmm. And some people don't. Some people, you know, Billy Bone's son. Up at that place of his up in Midland, I can't think of the name of it right now, Bone Daddy's, he leaves it on. I don't care for that at all. I don't want that stringy chewiness on a rib when I bite it. So you want to strip that membrane off the back and use a butter knife to get it off.
And well, if you get a corner started, then you grab it with paper towel in your hand and rip it off like a sheet.
And when you have St. Louis ribs, you want to pull that membrane off before you do anything. For one thing, you'll see the ribs better and the riblets. But number two, if you cut the riblets off, you're going to really struggle trying to get that membrane off because you got very little to hang on to.
Right. Yep.
But it's very important. And then, I'm going to probably put my spices on. And I'm kind of a lightweight on the spices.
You want the rib to do the work?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But I'm going to put one of my favorites on there, which is probably Bone Daddy's or something like that. And then I'm going to wrap them and put them in the fridge overnight.
Right, like wrap them in cellophane.
Yep.
Right, put them in, because that lets that seasoning kind of soak in, if you will.
Right.
And then you're going
to
take them off.
Another reason to go light.
Right, and you're going to take that off right before you're ready to throw them on the smoker. You can grill these things, but they're much better. The slower you go with them, the better they're going to turn out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
tough on the grill.
So coming up next, we're gonna move about the hog here. Maybe some country ribs. loin chops. Not about what they are, but about how to cook them. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Happy weekend to you. Middle of July. You ought to be firing up a grill if you ever do it at this time of year. This is it. This weekend, I had 16 people over, and we did a burger and a dog bar just because the six of the 16 were little ones, and they like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a fun time with that. But
well, you've got lots of burger.
Right, yeah, right.
I bet it's depleting, though, quickly.
Right, yeah, but this show's called All About the Hog and the Grill. So we talked a little bit about St. Louis and baby backs. Now let's go to country ribs. What are those, Bob, and why would you buy them?
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to hit the baby just a little bit because we kind of went heavy on St. Louis. Great big long ribs on any creature, any animal, right? So up towards the top of the backbone of the pig is where the baby backs come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they call them babies. They cut them shorter. I don't know. But they do have a lot more meat on them. And you're right up near the loin. And that's a fun piece to cook. It's a better looking presentation for a lot of people. And I'd have to give Chili's the credit for that because everyone wants their baby back, but you know,
right.
They really pounded that nationally worldwide. So they made that famous, and same thing, you're going to want to pull that membrane off. But what we didn't talk about was how do you know when to do what product? Everybody likes to say, well, I did the 3-2-1 method. I'm not a 3-2-1 guy because I don't think you can ever stick to anything like that. You have to know what that meat looks like when you put it on, when you have to wrap it, if you're going to wrap it,
mm-hmm.
and then when it's really done and what to do with it at the end. And that's all based on looks. And that's why the St. Louis are nice because they're so uniform. You don't have much difference from one end to the other.
Yep, baby back, the short end, the rib might only be 2 inches long.
Right.
On the other end, it might be 4 inches long.
It needs more attention.
Right.
So what I do with my ribs almost all the time is I cut them into 3 rib sections. Okay. I just run my nice sharp knife down the center, and I make them so they're nice.
Serving size almost.
Yeah, and that way, you know, if people decide they're going to be gluttons, it'll be obvious. You know,
right.
I got to see you take a second because what you don't want is for people to overserve themselves and not be able to finish it and waste good product.
Right.
That breaks my heart.
Yep.
And so in terms of the baby backs, it's a really good idea now to cut that smaller end off because it's going to be done quicker.
Right.
And you're not going to overcook anything trying to
get the rest of it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I sauce at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought you did too. Maybe the last half hour, 45 minutes. You'll get guys that do this competition-wise. They'll spritz them with an apple juice.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Especially if you're not wrapping.
Right. And it just hydrates them, gets them a little shiny and nice to look at.
Apple
and adds
juice,
flavor.
Apple juice.
Yep.
And with a little.
The sauces that have a sugar in them, I think, they get a little bit of a bark on them if there's sugar in
a little
your
blacken.
Sauce. Yeah.
Yep.
And it'll get tacky. Too. Those are just mouthfeel things and appearance. You know, when you've got a nice mahogany-colored set of ribs and they're a little tacky and they stick to your fingers a little bit. And I mean, you know, those are all the things that I'm thinking that my ribs are good when all that happens.
I'm thinking I want to make some ribs today.
Yeah.
I'm going to Sobeys.
Right. So country ribs. We talked a little bit about that when I was high on the hog there.
Yeah, but. And I remember the first time we did these, you scratched your head because you didn't know why I was so excited about country ribs, because your mom never made them.
Right.
Because right? When you're a kid, you grow up eating what mom makes.
Right.
And just like, you know, what was your mom famous for making?
Oh, macaroni and cheese.
That is one of your specialties.
I understand, man. I know.
Okay, ding. Yeah. Give me a high five on that.
It's the first thing that came
out. Oh, my gosh. You can't deny what I just said now.
Right, yeah.
It's true. And it's our moms, for the most part, in America, that predicate our what we like.
Right.
Because
I grew up with it, man.
Yeah.
I'd eat it every day. I can't do it because I'd be 400 pounds, but I love it, man.
Oh, my gosh. One thing we brag about Jop about is his mac and cheese.
Yeah. People like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's good to have a specialty.
But we're back on country ribs.
Well, and that's why
Hello,
I like country ribs.
Yeah.
Because my mom used to make them.
Right.
And back in the day, shoot, I think she was the first person I ever saw a grill.
Yeah, right.
My dad didn't know how to turn it on. But country ribs are really the blade cut off a shoulder.
Right. So a pork shoulder, what we call Boston butts, or many of you that are smoke a pork butt, well, some of them are boneless. Some of them have a bone in. The ones that are bone in, the butcher runs his saw down through there, and you get a chunk of the bone with the shoulder.
So why would someone buy a country rib?
Because of the price per pound is great,
it's
and the flavor
cheap.
Is wonderful.
And it looks like a rib.
Right.
So if you do it right, it can taste really, really good. And
absolutely.
I would tell you to keep the bone in. Number one, drives the price down quite a bit. Number two, you just get a better-looking presentation when you're done with them. So this is like a long, skinny pork steak when you look at it. Has that all the different colored meats in it and stuff. So what my mother used to do was she'd put it in a big pot and bake it with barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't tell you to do that. You could try smoking it if you have a smoker. If you just have a grill, do what mom used to do and go ahead and bake it. And then don't put any sauce in or anything. Just put your rubs on it and then pull it out of the oven after about 2 or 3 hours till it's as tender as you want it to be. Now grill it.
Right, with
and
sauce.
And grill it and then brush a little sauce on at the very end.
Yep.
Don't put your sauce on until you're about done. And for one thing, it keeps your grill a lot cleaner.
Right, it does. But again, you only want it tacky. You only want it tacky. You don't load it up because let the pork do the work.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then, you know, make a nice sauce to go with it or buy a nice sauce to go with it. I'll be making sauce this afternoon, actually.
Cool.
So that's why I think I need to do some ribs.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have some fresh sauce. And I developed this sort of a coffee. I call it a coffee sauce because I put coffee in it. And
well, imagine that.
Everybody loves it.
I might call mine a beer sauce then.
I got sauced on beer once. So that's country ribs.
Right.
Loin.
Loin will, the good news about the loin is that this is a very, we're going with a chop has the bone in, a loin has could have a bone, but it might just be the cut of meat.
You can do a loin with the bone in or not.
Right, and you've seen that in the meat case, that softball size piece of pork that's about, it could be any length, but they usually are about a foot long.
Now, can you buy that with the tenderloin on it as well?
Generally not. They're usually the tenderloins are the littler ones that are about the size of a golf ball. Maybe
so they've already cut them off.
Right. Yep. They've cut them off, and they come from a different part of the hog.
That would look like a T-bone when you're done with it, practically.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, what would you do with a full loin with bone in?
A full loin with bone in. One of my favorite things to do with it is a rotisserie, and you just run that skewer down the center of that thing. Put your little forks in each end, and offset on the charcoal grill. You could do it on gas, too, but build your fire on one side, not underneath your meat, because it's going to drip, right? There's a fat cap on that, and as you cook that thing, that fat's going to render. You remember Mad Jack?
Yeah.
That guy, he used porchetta, but it was the pork loin plus a little bit of the belly meat. We can cover that another day. But that loin on there, when it's rotisserie and it just self-bastes, it's amazing, and it's so good. It takes you a while. This is where you really need a very good digital thermometer because you want to get that done to about 155, 160 in the center. When you take it off and let it rest, it'll finish off to the 165.
But it's a loin? Loin?
Yeah.
Why would you cook it that high?
Well, my guests don't generally like it pink on the inside. They want it done, and it'll with it rotisserie, it'll get drier on the outside, but the center of it will still stay nice and moist. But it's just a visual thing, because I think I'm with you. You know, 145, you could probably eat it, but I like to bring it a little
warmer.
Well,
if the bone's in it, you're going to have to be worried, because you might have little blood spots and stuff.
Right, and nobody likes that. I mean, it's a visual thing. It ain't going to hurt you any. There's no such thing as the trichinosis anymore.
I've never seen a rotisserie with a bone in.
Yeah, right.
Well, might look pretty cool.
Yeah.
You've done that.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be making bacon. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys, and we've been talking high on the hog all day, so why stop now? We've covered ribs, and we've covered loins and chops, and, you know, everybody loves bacon. You know, not all bacon is made the same. I'm sorry to say. You can get it for $3 a pound or $20 a pound.
And you can get it for $3 a pound?
Well, if you you know what?
Where?
Well, you can buy the big packs of it.
You haven't bought it in a while, obviously.
Well,
it's gone nuts.
Yeah, okay.
The cheap junk is $5 or $6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy, you know, buy a 3-pound pack of it at the food service place. And once in a while, if I'm doing a lot of like jalapeno poppers or something, or I put that stuff in my beans once in a while. And it's usually sometimes you can get on sale for $9.99 for a 3-pound pack.
But I don't know if I told you or not, but Smithfield bacon is owned by the Chinese, so don't buy that.
Right, exactly. You might have told me that.
Yeah.
Right. I think
I
remember.
If I have to go for commercial, I always go with Oscar Mayer or with the Hormel Black Label brand.
Yep.
It's pretty good. So making bacon. I started making bacon in 1975 when I was...
That was your Christmas gift from me last year.
Well, you got me a nice little home brine kit. Yeah, it was nice. But when I was at Rhett's Electronics School in Grand Rapids, I got a job at Vandenbrink Meats. My roommate and I both worked there.
Slippery hams they had there. Very slippery.
Oh, very slippery. And then I had slippery hands. So leave it alone.
No, you got to finish the story now, because when they were hungry... It just so happened that one of those hams would slip and maybe bounce off the floor right beside the sink.
Yeah.
Well, you can't put it back in production, but you could rinse it off.
No, you didn't.
And then you ate.
No, we never rinsed it off. What you did was make sure you dropped it in front of the federal inspector. Because if old man Vandenbrink saw you drop it, he'd just pick it up and put it in with everything else. You did it when the inspector was around. He was a really cool old guy. But bacon out of those smokers that we did, we had these big smoker racks, and they were push carts, right? It was like a giant catering rack or something. And you could hang 2 or 3 slab high. And then there was probably, there was probably 20 or 30 slabs on each cart.
Well, our listeners probably aren't going to do that.
You rolled them right into the smoker.
Right.
And I believe we smoked them at 190 degrees for like 21 hours.
Right.
Something like that. Because
it's raw product when it goes in. So this is belly meat, right? We went to the baby backs and we went to the spares.
Yeah.
Below the spares.
You know what's next then.
Right, is the bacon. Right. This is the flank. This is down on the belly. of the hog, and you can get it with the skin on or the skin off, right? When you smoke it, is that right? I'm asking.
Gosh,
or do they normally take the skin off?
I believe the skin was on it.
Right. No hair, but the skin was
right,
on there, right?
Right.
So
I said, it was 1975.
So you brine this stuff,
most of our
right?
listeners were never born by then.
Right. So you brined
this.
That's
all we did, yeah. They just brined it. There was no rub. The brine had everything in it. It was so salt and sugar. And then we had these machines with these needles that would go down into it, inject the brine. And then you'd throw them in a brine tank. And they'd only stay in the brine tank like overnight. And then, boom, they were ready because they were injected.
Right.
And there's a lesson for doing pork butts even, you know, to inject. We don't push injection enough.
Right.
Not the jab. Don't confuse this with the jab.
Right. Right. But the brine, what the brine does is it puts moisture and flavor into the meat.
It penetrates the curing agents.
Right.
You're curing to make bacon or ham. You have to cure the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So the temperature does part of the cure, but the salt, sugar, and...
You don't have to use nitrites, do you?
By law, yeah.
Yeah.
America's weird that way. Not in Europe. They figured it out a long time ago. They won't eat half of our food. But they don't only have half the cancer, too.
Right.
So nitrates and nitrites, there's the two you can use. You can actually get it done with curing salts, but, you know, you've got the federal government that has all these brainiacs that think they know better, and they like pushing the chemicals.
Well, enough
government-made stuff.
So these you brine these things, you brine these things overnight, and then you're going to take it out. Do you rinse it off? Do you just let it drip dry? Do you go right from the brine into the smoker? I think you rinse it off.
You towel dry it.
Right,
yep.
Rinse it off, towel dry it a little bit, and then you're going to put it in your smoker. How do you know when it's done?
That's a really good question. I think it's based on the tenderness. You know, when it feels like it's starting to want to pull apart a little bit, then it's done. Then you just let it cool. And after it cools, then you flip it over and you take a nice long knife blade and you cut that skin off it.
Right.
And I cut a fair amount of the fat with it because I just don't need the fat. I'm fat enough.
Mm-hmm. Fast flavor, but there's a lot of fat on bacon.
Yeah,
down in this belly. Yeah.
Some animal's going to have a feast when he eats me. He's going to say, that's flavorful.
Right, yeah, right.
So you let it cool, you carve off the carcass and refrigerate it, and then get a nice long sharp, like I'd use my brisket knife. And
long 12
take
inch
my
blade.
Time,
yep.
Make sure the meat's nice and cold, and take my time and make nice, perfect slices. It's really hard to do.
Right.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, but the cold part was the key to what
it,
you just
it
said.
It is, and you also put it meat side down, fat side up, so yep. Your blade has a good run at something before it starts wanting to wander on you,
yep.
And then the fat is kind of a blade guide for you.
Right.
But you can, oh my gosh, if you make your own bacon... You'll never buy it again. It's so good.
Right, and you can, you know, we had, there's a little store in north and east of Grand Rapids called the Grist Mill, and he makes a thing called holiday bacon, and it's got maple and brown sugar, kind of a rub on it, and he rubs it before he slices it. He cures it, and there's heavy sugar in the brine, and then
you
he
like
smokes
that, didn't
it.
You?
Yeah, but I sent it to my brother. He loved it in Texas. He'd go, give me some more of that holiday bacon because it's got a little bit of sweet, and when it cooks up, it caramelizes a little bit. Just a cool thing. But I'm just saying, for as many bacons there are out there, there's that many recipes. But that guy's was really good up at the Grist Mill in Canonsburg, Michigan. But we were going to talk a little bit about this crown roast. Let's take a pass on that. But what is this loin trick that you got here?
Oh,
let's talk about that.
That's just something I developed out of necessity because I was grilling. I mean, and we had five kids, so I would buy pork loin on sale, and I'd cut it up into my own pork chops. Also, because I don't like messing with the bone, it just seems to be a nuisance, and I can't make my meat uniformly cook. So I buy loin and just do my own chops that way. Well, after I did those barbecue classes and got into using a Jacquard, I started pounding a lot of meat out with a Jacquard, and I always struggled with having a pork chop that wasn't dry. So I put oil on it and took my Jacquard to it and beat the heck out of it, both sides, and grilled it. And when I grilled it, it came back and it still looked like a pork chop, but it was much more juicy and tender.
Jacquard is the little nails, the little knives. They're a little bit bigger than a needle. Maybe the diameter of a toothpick, but there's like 60 or 70 of them in this tool, and it's spring-loaded. You just push it down into the meat, and the blades go down in and penetrate it, and you put the oil and seasoning on first and then drive it into the meat, and it tends to flatten it out because you're breaking down the fibers, but then when you cook it, it'll come back together.
Did you ever see the things they used to stamp the prices on cans with?
Yeah.
It has an action like that.
Yeah,
it's just a machine.
Yeah.
Ching, ching, ching.
Right, boy, you're going back a ways. You're going back a ways there. But anyway.
But you do remember.
Yeah, well, I worked in a grocery store when I was a kid, right? Yeah. Now they just deliver your groceries to you, and you swipe a card, and you don't even know what you're paying for. But anyway. All right, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. We talked about pork belly. Maybe we'll do the crown roast. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah,
stick with us.
Will.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law number 51. It is acceptable for a man to publicly situate and or scratch himself in the region of the gonads. If at a formal conference, then do so discreetly. If at a football party, scratch away, no handshakes.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
Man law.
Right.
Tell us about the famous Jop crown.
Real easy. It's a full set of ribs. The baby back ribs, and you do take the, I'm going to leave the membrane on them this time, and they usually will leave a bone in as well, because I'm looking for this crown roast, if you will. You'll see it done with lamb from time to time, but you can also do it with pork.
Now
it's the entire
bus.
Loin.
Why would you leave the membrane on?
Just to hold the bones together, because in order to split.
Yeah, you've already tried taking it off.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
When you run it around in a circle, because what you're doing is you're going to take a full set of ribs and you're going to cut between them, not all the way, but almost, so that you can take the ends and wrap it around. You've made a circle.
You need that rubber band in there.
Yeah, and it's like your little finger sticking up, right? You've all seen crown roaster pictures of them. You can do this. Season it up just like you would normally. I put that in the smoker for about 3 hours. To get it cooking, and then the last 2 or 3 hours, I put a stuffing in the center. And so when it comes out, that stuffing is golden brown. It's crisp up a little bit on the top, like if it had been in the oven. But you don't want it in there the full 6 hours that you need the ribs in, because it'll get over dry, right? But you do want it to get heated through, so the last 2 or 3 hours, I'm at 250 on this.
And what do you put in the middle of that then?
The stuffing. That's what I'm talking about. That's where the stuffing goes, is the center of that. There's a lump of stuffing in there. So the crown, it looks like the little hat part of a crown, right? But then when you serve it, you cut each bone away and grab a spoonful of stuffing and put it with it. It's a really cool presentation. Super easy to do.
Regal.
Yeah. And you've got two pieces of butcher twine, and you just flip it around backwards end to end. Put a couple pieces of twine around it so it won't
open up. A rubber band.
Right, yeah, right. That'd be a little chewy. but anyway, super easy to do. No special seasonings or anything. Just
Just it's fancy, man.
Well Mr. Fancy. Our producer here, Mr. Trevor, I think you need to take us out with Rubber Band Man. And don't forget to listen to Trev on Saturdays, 97.9 WGRD. What time you on there, bud?
10 to 3.
Hear the golden vibes, and the dude has a tasty set of licks he puts down. 97.9 WGRD, big station in West Michigan.
All right, well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week. See ya.